Okay, so good morning. It's a pleasure to see all of you here. It was an uncertainty for me for a while whether I'd make it this weekend with the infamous ash cloud, but here we are now. Claire mentioned about welcoming those who haven't been before, and actually it would be kind of helpful for me just to have a sense. If this is the first time you're coming to an event like this, either with London Insight or anything connected to it, or to this sort of insight meditation Vipassana tradition. If, in other words, meditating in this kind of format is really new to you, it would just be helpful to me to have an idea of numbers. So if you're coming for the first time, maybe you could just raise your hand. Nice to see the many of you that I know, at least recognize, and equally those who we may be meeting for the first time. The title of the day, which the title of the day is "What Stops Me? What Stops You? What Stops One?" I can't quite remember how it's worded. Maybe somebody else does. What stops you being awake and free? What stops me? As a way to internalize, I think that's the most helpful way for us to ask it. What stops me being awake and free? It's a very, very interesting question. It's a very alive question. It's a very powerful question. And that's the question I'd really like to support you all and encourage you all to ask in different ways throughout today. And hopefully as a way of supporting and encouraging you to ask that question repeatedly, again and again and again, in any and in fact every situation. Different contemplative traditions hold different strains within the Buddhist tradition, which this is one kind of expression of. Look at the process, the practice, the path towards awakening and freedom, you could say, in different ways. But whether we focus on the aspect of developing certain qualities of wakefulness, of sensitivity, of a willingness to really look deeply into life and respond authentically to life. Or whether we look not so much at the developing of various qualities, but more of the clearing away of or the abandoning of certain things. The letting go of our compulsiveness, of our resistance, etc. Whether we look at the cultivating of or the relinquishing of aspects of our inner life, teachings and practice and our own inner experience confirms that possibility for meeting life in a way that's awake and free. Free of conflict, free of anxiety, free of kind of the constant painful self-referencing. That doesn't mean, I think it's important, if I say free of self-referencing, it doesn't mean that there's no self-referencing happening. It doesn't mean that we don't recognize the sense of self as it appears and acts in the world. But it means that we needn't be defined, exclusively defined, by that self-referencing, by that sense of self, that there's the possibility for us to meet life in a way that's much wider, deeper, more expansive, more fluid, more free. And so, if that's what we're interested in, then this question, what stops me being awake and free now, is really an opportunity, moment by moment, to look and see. If I have this basic understanding, teachings point towards, my own intuition, and to some extent, no doubt, my own deepest experience tells me, means that I know authentically somehow that there's this possibility to abide free of contraction, free of resistance, free of compulsion, free of fear. If I know that authentically, then what? How come, if it's the case, how come there's something in the way of, seems to be something in the way of that right now? So, by looking through the lens of meditation together, which really means the lens of really sitting quietly, not doing hardly anything, with the premise that to sit in life, to be still, to be sensitive, to be receptive, to be intimate with one's experience, the premise that this is an expression of awakeness, being really in touch with our experience, and of freedom, abiding as a natural expression of life being conscious. Very, very free thing. Just life. Just life abiding. Life being awake to itself. If that's our basic premise, then as we sit, as we observe, as we connect, as we notice our mind get caught up somewhere, and we kind of rein it back in and just gently come back to where we are. What seems to be catching us? What seems to be maintaining our self-referencing? What seems to be keeping the old programs of who I am and what I want and what I should be doing and what I could be doing and what I was doing and what I will be doing? Keeping all of that going. Be looking at this question through the lens of meditation, through the lens of some discussion and exploration together. So I'd like to encourage you as much as possible, certainly in terms of meditation practice, to kind of put aside a little bit what you think you know about meditation, to put aside some of the formality. Certainly, to put aside some of the kind of mechanics. For those of you who have an ongoing, dedicated, regular meditation practice, you no doubt know, wherever you're at with that dedicated practice, you'll no doubt recognize the tendency for meditation to become a bit kind of automatic. For it to be something that I do in the morning. So if we're just to put aside what we think we know and just to really pay the best attention we can with this premise that to sit still and silent and conscious, to really focus our attention on this moment, this body, these thoughts, this emotional state, whatever shows up, is an expression of freedom and awakening. Then we start to notice whatever's surfacing within that, whatever idea, whatever obsession, whatever distraction, whatever defense, whatever disturbance. And those distractions, those disturbances, those defenses aren't something we need to get rid of or push aside or get past. They're very important clues. Wherever my mind is going off to, or however my heart's reacting, that's showing me something. That's showing me, right now, this is what seems to be in the way of freedom and awakening. Therefore, let me really give it some space. Let me get really interested in it. Let me see, if I'm feeling restless, how come I'm feeling restless? consciousness. And there's maybe different layers to what we describe. The first layer might just be, oh, the word's too long. You may think meditating for 40 minutes is ridiculous. Okay. But then if I just look a little bit, if I just let that story go and actually feel into the restlessness, what's really happening? Oh, I'm kind of uncomfortable sitting with myself. Oh, I can't. What is it exactly am I uncomfortable with? Oh, there's a kind of resistance to just facing the fact that I've got a kind of a busy mind. Oh, I can't. And we might notice, you know, that sense of having a busy mind, it kind of conflicts with the self-image I would like to have. What conflicts with the some sense of I shouldn't be like that. That I ought to be. I do Buddhist practice. I ought to be serene. I ought to be peaceful. I ought to be compassionate. I ought to kind of sit here like with, you know, light emanating from my chakras. So whatever's showing up as seemingly being the problem or the issue or the distraction or the disturbance is really worthy of our care, really worthy of our attention, really worthy of our exploration. And that's the most effective way that we can explore what it means for ourselves and our own experience to be awake and free. To put aside the kind of dogmas and ideas and accumulated stuff of our practice, and to look as in a way that's as fresh and as alive and as curious and as penetrating as possible. So everything's welcome. Every impediment, every distraction, every disturbance. And this way, certainly in meditation practice, which we can tread this delicate balance between the willingness and the commitment to actually bringing our attention back whenever it gets lost. Really establishing some stability and some sensitivity to what's happening. On the one hand, and on the other hand, not getting tight around the fact that we get distracted. Not judging our practice, not be thinking that shouldn't be happening. Not rejecting the various distractions and disturbances that get hold of our minds, and yet nor getting caught up in them. Sometimes I call that a mixture of 100% commitment to be present, to be connected, to be here. And 100% forgiveness for each time we notice we've lost it. Not present, not connected, not sensitive. Lost in imagining who's at the head of the line in the marathon. So let's sit together for some time with 100% commitment and 100% forgiveness.